It's after the hour. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the whole show. We took a little weekend break, as we tend to do. Glad you could be with us here. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Text us on our First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. And Hooligans, all right, in this hour, this noon hour, Colfax, I'm going to be registering somebody for our first ever Madden Challenge, thanks to NoCo Mobile Gaming. We're going to be, that's where we're doing this thing. TV set up inside, so it's a neutral environment, all that. So I'm going to be registering somebody. Here's what I'm going to give you the hint. Pay attention to a segment that we do every Monday first thing. Well, pretty close to first thing. I'm just going to say pay attention to that. I'm challenging you. Listen, I'm taking 20 people, Colfax, and I'm giving you a 1 in 20, a 1 in 19 shot because I'm playing and I'm not winning. Well, I'm winning, but I'm not winning the gift. You're getting a 1 in 19 shot to win a PS5. So, yeah, forgive me if I'm not just handing out registrations for this. Plus, it's inside NoCo Mobile Gaming. It is like a... These people understand video games. Like, they get it. They get competitions. They get a good time. So, yeah, this is going to be kind of a prestigious crowd. You know, we got Lieutenant Spangle. We got Sir Charles. That is just a prestigious crowd with those guys? Okay. And then we got, I don't even know what your nickname is, but Boren. We got the Boren Supremacy series, or Boren Identity series, going to be involved. So that's what we've got so far. I would love it to be Hall of Famers. I mean, I love it when the Hall of Famers get involved, but it might be a noob or another noob. We have a Hall of Famer that's a noob. So pay attention. That's what you do on this show. You pay attention. What a great weekend it was. I will admit, Colfax, I had a 500 record in my NFL playoff predictions. Felt really good about everything. Bills skate by, barely there. Hail Mary by Philip Rivers. Bills get this one. That was their first playoff game, their first game hosting playoff game in 24 years, if you can believe it. And they win it 27-24. Josh Allen was, you know, I mean, again, this guy just finds ways to win. 324 yards, two touchdowns. He had 54 yards rushing and a touchdown. That was a fun game. The Rams-Seahawks game, I felt terrible for Russell Wilson. 11 for 27, 174 yards, two touchdowns, a pick. But he was under duress all day long. He was sacked five times, but they were getting after him a lot more than that even. So it just wasn't really a great day. The Seahawks don't lose playoff games at home. They look it up. They don't since Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll joined forces. So how much of an impact, you know, is that 12th man for Seattle? The Rams do it. Jared Goff comes in, and he wasn't supposed to start with the thumb. Wolford goes out early. Then Goff comes in. Goff really wasn't great. It was the defense that really stepped up for this team. And I mean, Aaron Donald is a monster of men. He had three tackles, two sacks, two tackles for loss. He was a monster. My Super Bowl favorite, sticking with it, from the NFC, is hanging in there. Tom freaking Brady gets it done. Brady was against Washington. Oh, come on. I mean, Brady, all he did was throw 381 yards and two touchdowns. Can't help it if a defense that's supposed to be good let Washington put up 23 points and make it somewhat interesting overall. My game of the week was the Ravens and the Titans, rightfully so. Loved that game. Hats off to the Ravens, man. I mean, defensively, they shut down Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has been going against the grain, going against the norm all season. A 2,000-yard rusher in this day and age? Crazy. Yet he comes back down to reality, and credit to the Ravens for playing outstanding defense. Henry had 18 carries for 40 yards. I thought he was going to break one late in that game. He gets a shoestring tackle. I thought he was going to bust it, though. Would have changed the dynamic of this game. That was in the fourth. Couldn't do it. Titans lose. Saints beat up on the Bears. It was, listen, 21-9. Not terrible. Bears missed an opportunity, though. I mean, they had a Jay Wims was wide open. for a touchdown. Javon Wims would have made this game 7-7 and changes things. Colfax and I were just talking about the Browns-Steelers game. How much does that muff snap, you know, mess things up? You look at the Broncos-Seahawks. That could change everything around. And yes, the Browns, wow. 28-0 in the first quarter. Now, the Steelers came back and at least made it interesting at times. But when Cleveland needed to answer the bell, they did. And what's with Pittsburgh? I mean, was there like 8 minutes left? They're down two scores. It's 4th and 1. They're kind of at midfield. Tomlin elects to punt the ball. And the Browns go right down and score, and that makes it a 3-score game. Steelers bounce back, made it, you know, they got down to a 2-score game again. Didn't matter, not enough time. And Baker Mayfield. So you have the Bills, who haven't hosted a playoff game in forever. The Browns haven't been to a playoff game in forever, and they both win. So some unlikely teams going to that next level. I'm excited for the weekend coming up. Colfax, without further ado, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. I don't know much about UNLV. I'm starting to think UNLV is a better team than they're displaying. But nonetheless, a win's a win. The Rams beat UNLV in the two games. I love this style, by the way, and I want to talk about it more. Rams are now 8-2, and put together a nice game. Isaiah Stevens, 22 points and 8 assists in helping the Rams get the dub.
Stevens sitting on 17 points tonight.
I want to bring it back to Stevens. Let him work.
Launching from three. He's got it! With 25 seconds to go, Colorado State has the lead.
Stevens was 6-for-8 from the three-point line. I mean, efficient, man. He's, from the field, he was 6-of-13. 22 points. He had 5 turnovers, but that's what happens when you have the ball and you're in the game for 37 minutes. Rams win a gutty one there. They're 8-2. They play San Jose State. That's not the one I care about. The next 4 games after that, you'll see Utah State and Boise State, the 2 teams ahead of them in the Mountain West Conference. Can they win a regular season title? They've never done it. They've never done it in the Mountain West. They've only won a tournament. That's how they got into March Madness. So we'll see, man. I loved it. Good job, Colorado State. Congrats to Nico Medved and company. The bad is something I already talked about, but you give up 28 points. You were 11-0 at one point this season, and the Browns worked you in that first quarter. My bad is definitely the Steelers going down 28-0 early.
And they start with a horrible snap all the way back to the 2-yard line, and the Browns bounce it into the end zone where they wind up with a touchdown.
Whew. I mean, that sets the tone, right? And the Browns just looked great. Everything about it. And they took some bulletin board material. Juju Smith-Schuster, at the beginning of the week, he said, hey, the Browns are the Browns. The Browns are going to be the Browns. Just wait for them to lose. The Browns said they took that to heart. Juju has provided so many teams bulletin board material. It's, you know, you start doing the TikTok dance on the logos, and, well, teams are making you pay for it. Saw a lot of that, man. There's bad blood in the NFL. I love it. The Titans and the Ravens hate each other. Lamar's not shaking hands. I love all that stuff, man. The ugly, I'm sticking with basketball here. The University of Northern Colorado, 3 straight losses, including losing on Saturday to Montana State.
They can win it with a 3, tie it with a 2. Trayshawn Smoots, who sent the game to overtime, controls. Smoots, behind the back dribble, bounces it to Joe Cooch. He finds Roderick McCobb. 3 ball from McCobb. No good. Bodie Humes tap ends up in Bodie's hand. Bodie scores it. No good. Ball still on the court. Corjo Cooch has it. Matt Johnson for the win. In and out. No good. Northern Colorado falls by 2. 76-74 as Johnson couldn't get that one to spin home.
Jason Alvin, the voice of the Bears on the call. You heard it here on 1310 KFKA. Matt Johnson, I love you, man. 21 points in that game. He played 39 minutes. Hume played 44. That ball, you saw at Colfax, it goes, it was almost past the rim, and it rolls out. I thought, that's a game. That's a game right there. You win the game. How many shots did they have on that possession? 4? They had 4 offensive boards and 4 shots. That's a tough one. How good is Montana State, though? They're 5-3. They're 2-0 in the conference. Now, they went up against UNLV. Now, UNLV, before they played Colorado State last week, they hadn't played since like 1937 because of COVID stuff. It was like 30 days in between. But to start the season, UNLV played Montana State and lost 91-78. Montana State scored 91 points in that game. So CSU's good. They struggled with UNLV. UNLV might be okay. Did they get better in 30 days? Maybe. Maybe so. So, I mean, I'm sad for UNC. I'm a little concerned about them at this point in time as far as being a big-time contender in the conference. But then again, I am starting to think maybe Montana State is pretty good. Check this out. Xavier Bishop has been named the Big Sky Conference Player of the Week from Montana State the second time this year. We've only been in play for like 5 weeks, Colfax. So he averaged in this series 25 points, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. He shot 63% from the field, 45% from the three-point line. That's going to get it done most of the time. So Xavier Bishop, pretty good player. He earned it earlier this season. So two Big Sky Conference player of the Week titles for him. And they've had some nice wins. So I'm not making an excuse for UNC. I thought Montana State was not going to be as good as the Bears at this stage. So the Bears got to bounce back. I'm calling must-win time. You got Idaho. I don't think they've won yet. You got to beat them twice. Got to find a way to beat them twice. Colfax, I got to take this time, man. I can't believe it. My little guy, Gavin Warren Hull, we share the same middle name. It's a coincidence, I guess. Turned 3 years old today. The big three. Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. I can't believe it. But, yes, he's 3 years old. Very, very happy. Okay, Susan and Cheryl. I can hopefully get Susan and Cheryl to give us a clap.
They stepped out for just a second. Back.
There goes that raise. I mean, you know, when the boss is talking about his son, you know, the Susan and Cheryl out the door. 3 years old today. My wife set up last night, you know, and of course, Dad's like, yeah, I don't know, do all this stuff. Do we need all this stuff? My wife's taping all of these little, paper cutout figures, you know, Mowgli from Jungle Book, a bunch of other Disney characters all over the house. Just tapes them. They're just little, you know, about the size of his hand. And I'm like, all right, you think he's going to notice them? First thing, my kid walks downstairs and he looks up at all of them and goes, wow. And just goes to each one throughout. And it's like an Easter egg hunt in our house. I got to say that here's another. My wife knows how to plan a party, Colfax. She knows. So happy. He keeps us on our toes, man. This kid has so much energy. I always tell people, if you want to get in shape, follow my kiddo around for seriously 5 minutes and you're going to be shredded. This kid, he's like a little hummingbird, man. He never stops. So happy birthday to Gavin, my little guy. It happens. It's like flying by. My goodness. It's crazy. But couldn't do life without that little one. Love it, man. 18 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, all right, the Nuggets weekend that was, they beat the Sixers, and I'm pretty sure Colfax was on that roster because nobody was playing for Philadelphia over the weekend. They beat the Knicks, who are surprisingly not bad. They stomped them last night or yesterday. But I'm still walking away with a major question. It just so happens to be our Power to Play Sports question. Cue the conspiracy theory in your head. We're going to talk about that coming up. 19 minutes after the hour, this is the whole show. We are powered by PDC Energy. And as always, I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
When it starts, we'll be ready. High school basketball in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. NoCo now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
All right, I started my training, Colfax. I'm trying something I've always wanted to do. Didn't know if I... if maybe my laziness would take over, but I'm going to be running with in the Sweetheart Classic coming up in Loveland, courtesy of Loveland Sweetheart Racing. I'm very excited about this. We had Shane on the program, great guy. He's like a down to earth dude. You know, I expected him to come in here in like tights and a helmet and with a rear view mirror on his helmet, but he's like a down to earth guy, and he's like, honestly, there's a stigma around certain runners. That's not with us. We like to run. We like to get in shape. But we run to a brewery. That's where we go, and that drives us on this. So it's going to be 4 miles. Is that what I told you, Colfax?
Yeah, that's what you had said.
Would you call that a 5K?
5K.
5K is 4 miles. Very confusing for me, as you can see. So I decided to get up and go run, and I felt great. Fantastic weather. Snowing on Saturday. I love the snow. I love kind of an overcast day, so enjoyed that. Went for a mile. Yesterday, decided to go out again, and the sun's out, and it's beautiful. That's Colorado for you, huh, Colfax? And got another mile in. So I felt good, feeling really good. And this is always for a great cause. Anytime you run with Sweetheart Racing, they are Sweetheart City Racing. They are going to they're always giving back. You know, they did a toy drive last month. This one's going to be to local schools throughout the area as far as their running group. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's a great cause. So can't wait to get this thing going. It's going to be a blast. And if you'd like to join me, let me know. We got a link up on our website, 1310kfka.com, and would love for you guys to check that out. Register, run alongside me, because there might be a chance. I'm just going to throw this out there. Prediction time: I might stop and walk a little bit, which is apparently okay to do that. So join me, we'll run, maybe a little walking, have a good time of it, and then we'll pop over and grab a beer somewhere. Sounds like a good thing. All right, so that's coming up very, very soon. Cannot wait. February 13th, so just remember, the day before Valentine's Day. 26 minutes after the hour, our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301, and our Power to Play sports poll question. Is there more going on between the Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. outside of just COVID-19 protocols? So let's go through this real quick, because I had a texter already saying, my guess is he has COVID. And listen, I've been digging. You know, this listener said that basically the NBA doesn't release that information. That must be new if that's the case. I have not found that they are not disclosing who has COVID, because NFL's disclosed that all year. The NBA did before the bubble. You know, we knew who the first one was, Rudy Gobert. Before we got into the bubble, we knew who had COVID. So I don't know if that's true. So if he has COVID, okay, but so we go back to the timeline. It's been 2 weeks now, and he was against Dallas last Thursday. We heard before the game, he's cleared to play, he's going to go. Then magically, nope, he's not. He's on a 10-day, he'll be back in 10 days. Mike Malone won't answer any questions about him. Well, then I read on Saturday, this was Saturday, Denver Nuggets forward Michael Porter Jr., according to ESPN, will remain in the NBA's health and safety protocol for an indefinite period and continue to be tested daily for the coronavirus. What is an indefinite period? Is this a new rule? So I go back to this. Clutchpoints.com. We go all the way back to bubble time. A couple of different things that Porter did. He was upset with Malone. Remember, he didn't get the ball. They lost to the Clippers in one of those games. And Porter came out and said, you know, it's up to the play call there, up to the coaches. They got to get the ball in somebody's hands. It's great to go to Joker and Jamal, but we keep going there. They're amazing players, and you can never get mad at that. But I think that to beat a team like the Clippers, and that was who they played, remember, in the second round, they're two amazing players. You can never get mad. But I think that to beat them, we have to get more players involved. We've got to move the ball. I'll step up and talk to them. So he said that, right? He also talked about, he kind of thought that maybe some of the comments about COVID at the time in the bubble. He said, maybe it's a way for the government to kind of control us. Not meaning like in our brains, but actually setting up restrictions. Well, Mike Malone wasn't happy about either of those comments. Well, fast forward to now, And you have Michael Porter Jr. out because of COVID-19 protocols. We have not heard whether he has it. We have not heard who we, you know, we thought it was contact tracing. But it was going to be 10 days from Thursday. So what would that be, like Saturday, Sunday? This upcoming Saturday, Sunday? Now it's an indefinite amount of time. So that's our poll question. Go to thewholeshow.com, Power to Play Sports poll question. Is there more than just COVID protocols going on between Michael Porter Jr. and the Denver Nuggets? 60% of the Hooligans say no, simply safety precautions. Okay, so it used to be 2 weeks, 14 days. Well, I know the colleges are down to 7 days, correct? So they're down to 7. Porter was at 10. Now he's beyond 10 to indefinite. We don't know what that means. Mike Malone won't answer any questions about him. And he, in fact, acts frustrated when he is asked about him. But, you know, they did come off of a loss in overtime to Dallas. I can get that. But give us something. Does he have it? Is he not following the rules? Let us know something. So go vote. I'd love to see what you guys think here. I think there's something more, personally. I think there's something more because I'm going back to the bubble. Back to all of it with MPJ. This guy's a talent, offensively. Defensively, we all know he has issues, but he's a very big talent. It would behoove of Michael Malone and the Denver Nuggets to figure this out one way or the other. And I mean that on both sides. If he's not following the protocols, how can you get him to figure out to follow the protocols? I don't know. What is he doing? This is what happens when you don't tell us stuff. We all just make crap up. And that's how it goes, right? Our first advantage text line is 970-478-1301, 478-1301. Text KFKA to that number. 31 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk more basketball on the college side of things. How about the Colorado State Rams? Kevin Lytle will join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and looking forward to that. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the hour, this is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And joining me now on our first Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan, our CSU Rams insider here. Kevin, my friend, I assumed looking CSU UNLV earlier in the week, I'm thinking, okay, well, CSU should breeze by UNLV based on a record, but that can be a dangerous game sometimes. Maybe UNLV is not as bad as they appear, or was this kind of a scary sign for the Colorado State Rams?
No, I think you're right that UNLV, I think we're going to look back at this sweep in a month or so and think, you know, that's a pretty solid sweep because that UNLV team looks pretty good. I think there are two things you need to take into account. One, they had a long COVID shutdown, so yeah. Obviously they don't have many games. Then you look at the teams they've played. They have a North Carolina and Alabama. They have pretty loaded schedule that they did play non-conference before they got shut down. So I think, and just watching that team, UNLV teams, this is kind of what they are. They tend to be really talented, but a little bit erratic in how they play. But they'll definitely beat some teams. So I think that UNLV team is probably still a top half of the Mountain West type of team.
And you had this duo of Bryce Hamilton and David Jenkins. I mean, they had, what, about 60 between the two of them in that game last time. So those guys were unstoppable, but the Rams found a way to get it done.
Yeah, exactly. UNLV is interesting. Those two guys can light it up. They'll both score a lot, especially Hamilton. And then you have Check Mbejiang, which I hope I got right. I was looking at the pronunciation. I probably got a little wrong. I apologize. But really long. They have a lot of length inside. They're a really tricky team to face. And I think, like I say, once they kind of get in shape again, they're going to be pretty solid. But those two guys can score. But, man, what fun games. I mean, that's all I could think about, especially during the Saturday one, when both teams are just hitting everything. I'm thinking, man, and Nico Medved talked about this after. It's like, gosh, this is one you want 7,000-8,000 people in the stadium because it would be amazing. You know, it was one of those classic college basketball games. But CSU keeps winning. I mean, they, you know, we've talked about before, they're basically holding serve. They've won at home, and their one road Mountain West series, they got split against San Diego State. So far, so good for the Rams.
Yeah, and I guess the one saving grace, like you said, it's a bummer fans can't be there, but these games have been on, they've been accessible. They've been on national TV for the most part, so we've got to see a lot of these games. If you're not, you know, again, you can listen, you can find local outlets, but this has been nice for Rams fans all over the country to watch some of these games and some of these exciting wins. So I think nationally, maybe people start to take notice. You're 8-2.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's worth, you know, we're all quick to jump on the Mount West when they do things poorly, but I think let's give a little credit. This new TV deal with CBS and Fox Sports, I think, is working out. You know, we saw CSU, their huge comeback against San Diego State was on the big CBS, which is obviously tons of eyeballs. And then you mentioned all their other conference games have been on either CBS Sports Network or FS1. And especially FS1 is one that I think most people get. And that's the case for pretty much the rest of the season. I think they have maybe three more games that aren't on you know, one of the bigger networks. So credit where credit is due. These games are in front of eyeballs.
Yeah, no question about it. So noticed it. Now, Roddy ends up getting 32 minutes, so it really doesn't matter that much, but didn't start on Saturday. Anything major there going on?
Yeah, so it was obviously surprising when they announced the starting lineup and David Roddy's not there, but you know, we had sat there and watched him warm up. He seemed healthy. So you kind of figured that it's certainly not going to be a tactical decision. You're not taking David Roddy out of the lineup to help your team. And sure enough, Nico Medved said basically it's a minor discipline issue. You know, he wouldn't elaborate, but I think it's pretty safe to guess, you know, it's probably something very minor, you know, late to a meeting or something along those lines. You know, David Roddy, those of us that have gotten to know him, I'm not too worried about him getting in any substantial trouble. So I don't think anything to worry about, and he'll be back in the starting lineup. So one of those, you know, minor, yeah, it's not a big deal, but we have to do things the right way, so you're going to sit for a few minutes.
Kevin, what is it about Nico Medved? He comes across, you know, you talk to him, I talk to him, he's the nicest guy in the world, but obviously he's not afraid to get after these guys. David Roddy, I mean, whatever happened, maybe it was a small deal, whatever, but he still says, hey, I'm the head coach and you can't break rules. I'm assuming that's what it is, whatever. What is it about this guy that seems to just get the absolute best out of this extremely young team?
Yeah, I think that's a great point there, Brady. I'm actually hoping to write kind of a feature about Nico and some of this, a little bit more inside of him. Because, yeah, when you meet Nico, if you're a fan or, you know, just someone in the community, the first thing, he's just very likable. I still haven't found, well, I found, you know, so few people that do not like him. He's just a very fun guy to talk to. And you know, usually coaches, they have a little bit of that salesman thing with him, and he doesn't have that. He feels very genuine, but I think that kind of masks his competitiveness, his fire, his like you say, kind of attention to detail and doing things the right way. And yeah, he'll get after guys. I mean, they've gotten on guys when their schoolwork is slipping, things like that. So it's a staff that really can hold accountability, but it's in a trustworthy type of way. You know, the players, they trust the players trust them, and it really works both ways. And yeah, like you say, it's just clicking because the synergy, the chemistry in this roster is really strong.
Yeah, no question about it. It's fascinating to me to see just how good this team really is. And I don't even know. I don't even think we've seen how good this team can be. Kevin, this is a team, what, 4 weeks ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, we're wondering if they're going to be able to field enough guys to play CSU Pueblo. And to be honest, we're also wondering, are they going to be able to win that game because no practice and who's actually going to play? And then they're beating teams like San Diego State. And they have an 8-2 record. I mean, it's amazing what 5 weeks will do. And it kind of goes to show you, maybe you don't need all those practice weeks leading up to it. But either way, 5 weeks ago, I wondered what kind of team this was going to be.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on that this is, you know, you can't ever assume that growth is going to continue straight upward. You know, there are ups and downs in growth, but this team is kind of just on the surface of of what they can be when you look at individuals. I mean, David Roddy is, it was basically a year ago, just over a year ago, that he became a starter. So you think of that, it's like, wow, he's pretty new. Isaiah Stevens, obviously, he's started and played basically every minute forever, but he's still only a sophomore. You know, he's about 40 games into his college career, so still so young. You know, even a guy like James Moores, who's really starting to make some moves. So the guy didn't play for almost a year and a half, probably more than a year and a half, actually, and is, you know, 8-9 games into his college career and all of a sudden starting to make impact. So this team is just so young, and it's exciting now, but like I say, there will be ups and downs, but as they grow, it's easy to see a very bright future.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think that's the other thing is I'm really enjoying the games. Like you said, there's a lot of fun to be had if you're a Rams fan at this point. But what does the future look like? I mean, Isaiah Stevens is tearing it up, man. 22 points and 8 assists, 6 rebounds. He seems to be getting better every game. And then Roddy, I mean, guy looks like he could go play in the NFL or the NBA at this stage. It just looks like this team's just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, and those guys, like you say, and Roddy and Stevens are two of the best players, you know, really in the Mountain West already, and they still have a lot of growth to do. I mean, David Roddy's still improving his outside shot, for instance. He's 3-point percentage has gone way up, but, you know, he's a guy that if he's shooting in mid to high 30s from three, he'll be unguardable. Isaiah Stevens, he's a great shooter, but sometimes, you know, he's such a pass-first, team-oriented guy that sometimes, Medved was even saying this, he goes, we kind of had to push him, be like, hey, shoot the dang ball. You're really good at it. Like, don't hesitate and shoot it. You know, so just little growth things like that are still going to really spur them forward. And then, obviously, if you're looking down the road, you know, in years, start adding other pieces to the puzzle because they are still fairly thin. They only have 9 scholarship guys that are really playing this year. So you're still a little thin, you know, maybe a piece or two you need to add, but yeah, a lot of good is happening.
Kevin, I dared to go here yesterday with a poll question on the website, a little weekend poll question, but I wanted to ask Rams fans if they thought the Rams this year could win the regular season Mountain West Conference title. You and I were going back and forth via text. Never won a regular season title. They've won one tournament, correct?
Yep, one tournament. That was the wild one in 2003 when the team really wasn't any good. I think they're 7 seed maybe in the Mountain West, or 6 seed maybe. Got hot, won it all, and went and played Duke in the first round of the tournament. Actually gave Duke a pretty dang good game too. So, but yeah, never won a regular season title in the Mountain West.
How far-fetched is it to think that this group, now I'm looking ahead at the schedule, you have San Jose State, that's the next 2 games, but then Utah State, 2 games, and Boise State in 2 games. We're going to know a lot about that poll question after the next, I guess you could say, the next 6 games.
Yeah, you're spot on there. The answer is going to change a lot then. If CSU goes 6-0 somehow, my percentage is going way up, which would be incredible. I mean, if they go 6-0, they'll be ranked. There'll be a ton of things will be happening. I very much do not expect that. I don't think CSU is going to win the Mountain West regular season title. I think, you know, there's a chance, put it, I don't know, 10-15%. I still think San Diego State is probably the best. Boise probably looks second. The thing with Boise and Utah State a little bit as well is their schedules are backloaded. They've kind of been playing the crappy teams, if you will, early on, and Boise especially, their last 6 weeks will be all the juggernauts of Mountain West, so it's going to be really hard for them to sustain week in and week out without ever having, you know, a pseudo break, if you will. So that kind of works in CSU's favor. CSU's a little backloaded as well. They still have a lot of good teams to go. So that's a long answer. My short one is I don't expect CSU to win the Mountain West title, but it's more realistic now than it's been in a long time. That's for sure.
Yeah, 8-2 overall, 5-1 in conference play. Like we said, Utah State's in front, Boise State, and I agree with you. San Diego State, still a really, really good basketball team. So, but what does that say, Kevin? While we have you, man, I mean, just looking at the Mountain West Conference, is it safe to say maybe this is kind of the year for this conference to not only make some noise throughout the regular season, but to maybe have a couple of teams go do something cool in come March?
Yeah, definitely. It depends. Obviously, it always depends on who wins the conference tournament. But If you look at the RPI and the net, you know, Boise State is really high up in the net rankings. San Diego State's actually a ways down toward where CSU is. But, yeah, I think there's that minimum. Again, let's assume there's a full-size tournament, which we don't necessarily know for sure, but a full-size tournament, I would say Mountain West is at minimum two, hopefully a three-bid league.
Yeah, yeah, no question. It could be funny. Like you said, who knows what we're looking at as far as numbers there. But if it was a regular one, yeah, one would wonder if three teams would get in. Kevin, what are you working on for us, man, that we can check out the next couple of days?
Yeah, obviously, like you said, CSU is going to, well, they're going to Phoenix to play San Jose State, as one will do in this COVID season. So that's a big thing on tap. I've got a couple features I'm looking at work on in the next couple weeks. So, yeah, the rest of January is going to be big and teaching us a lot about this basketball team.
Yeah, Kevin, appreciate you, man. Love having you on the show. Love hearing you on KFKA. And we'll look out for what you have for us in the Coloradoan.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, in there. Yeah, Colorado State sitting at 5-1 in the conference. Utah State and Boise State, the only undefeated teams in conference play. Boise State has one loss overall. Utah State sitting at 9-3. Probably far-fetched for them to win a regular season title. But tell you what, man, you split with San Diego State. And I got to say, I love this schedule. The way they're doing it. I hope next year we do the same thing, where you play a conference opponent twice in like 3 days. It feels like a mini playoff series. I mean, you know, and I know they're going to, in normal times, they play each other twice anyway. But I got to admit, I kind of like seeing them play each other and then a mental game the next night. You know, win or lose, it's that matchup. I really like the feel of that. So I hope that's something that college basketball will consider for some of these conferences, especially like the Mountain West. I mean, I loved seeing CSU, you know, basically back-to-back. What was there, 2 days in between, going up against UNLV. It was a lot of fun. All right, I do want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well, but plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Their number, 970-330-6824. 12:51 the time. When we come back, what do I have here? Oh, my game of the week. I'm going to give you my game of the week. Last week, I liked the Ravens-Titans game. I think it delivered. What am I liking this week? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, Jeff Linder's Cowboys are sitting at 7-2, so they're not bad either. Jeff Linder on the improve with that team. They've already won. How many games did they win last year? Like three in the regular season, right? It wasn't very many. I don't remember. Maybe it was like six, but I feel like they're already over that mark with seven wins. They're 1-1 in conference play. 6 minutes until the top of the hour. Colfax, my game of the week. It's a little bit later in the week, all the way to Sunday. But listen, the Nuggets are back to 500, and I know there's a lot of games, and there's playoff games. I felt like those were obvious, but I really liked the Titans-Ravens game last week. That was my, no matter what, I was going to go there. But when I'm looking ahead here, you know, there's some big ones coming up. I know the Nuggets have Brooklyn tomorrow. They have Golden State on Thursday. But I like the Utah Jazz game on Sunday. Now, again, I don't know who's going to be playing from one day to the next. NBA executives are saying, to hell with the bubble, this is going to be the year of the asterisk, if you're asking me. So we'll see. Or is it going to be like the NFL, where we had tons of cases early on, and then it all calmed down? That's my guess, is you're going to hit it these next 4 or 5 weeks. It's going to be COVID, and then it's going to slow down, just like the NFL. But I love this game, going up against Utah. If you'll remember, it's going to be a rematch of the playoffs. It's at home in the first round, rematch of the first round. Utah was up 3-1. That was when the magic all started for the Nuggets, and the Nuggets found a way to come all the way back. But you look at this Utah team, And they're sitting at 6-4, and you know they really felt like last year that was their year. They were going to start making some noise in the playoffs, but the Nuggets come all the way back. Donovan Mitchell is averaging 23 points per game. Mike Conley averaging 17. Jordan Clarkson at 16. So it's a good team. And again, they have Bogdanović back in, who wasn't there last year. He's a guy that's averaging 12 points, about, you know, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, something like that. So he's looking to get into his groove a little bit more as the season progresses. But I really like that game. I'm looking forward to it. All right, First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFK. Here it is. If you want to register for our Madden Challenge, coming up, winner gets a PS5. I need the fourth caller to call in and tell me what my good, the bad, and the ugly was. That's a little tough. This is going to be challenging for you today. Fourth caller to call in and tell me what my good, the bad, and the ugly was. Tell Colfax, anyway, during the break. What was it? Earlier in the segment, very first segment, we always do Monday's good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was, thanks to FMS Bank. I need you to tell Colfax what it was. What was my good, what was my bad, and what was my ugly? If you get that right, you are in the mix for a 1-in-19 shot to win a PS5 in a Madden tournament coming up with NoCo Mobile Gaming, and of course the PS5 courtesy of Greeley Bears. 12:57 the time, second hour coming up next.